In many cities across the U.S., the mentally ill have no safety net. 10 times as many people with serious mental illness are in jail as in state hospitals. But in San Antonio, Texas, they're trying to change that. And there have been some interesting results. 8 years ago, the state was going to levy fines because the county jail was so overcrowded, largely with people suffering from serious mental illnesses. Today, the jails are under capacity, and the city has saved $50 million in 5 years. Reporter Jenny Gold explains that the safety net in San Antonio begins with the police.
Officers Ernest Stevens and Ned Bandusky are part of San Antonio's Mental Health Squad, a 6-person plainclothes unit that answers the frequent calls where mental illness may be an issue.
2749.
They've been in the car since early this morning. They're letting me ride along with them today, and we've already taken several calls. Their shift is almost over when Stevens spots a call for help on their laptop.
A male individual put a blanket on fire this morning. He's arguing with them and has endangered himself and others. He's off his medications.
You know this guy?
I know his caseworker. I've dealt with him several times.
It's a typical call for Stevens and Bandusky. We head for a group home in a rundown part of town in an unmarked SUV. There we find a young man, Mason, sitting on a wooden bench in an empty concrete yard. He's wearing a black hoodie, and his damp bangs hang in curls over his forehead.
You're Mason?
Stevens and Bandusky walk over to him casually.
What happened with your blanket?
Mason's hunched over. His eyes dart back and forth between the two officers. We're not using his last name because of his condition.
Are you hearing some voices right now? You are, aren't you? What are the voices telling you?
Most of the time, Mason doesn't answer the officer's questions and tilts his head to stare at a spot in the distance. To me, it just looks like Mason is spacing out. But Officer Bandusky, who's had special training in handling people with mental illness, says Mason is hallucinating.
You're seeing something that I'm not seeing, right? Hey, Mason, you're seeing something that I'm not seeing, aren't you? What are you seeing?
Jesus.
You're seeing Jesus and what else? Go ahead, you can tell me.
My heart hurts.
Your heart hurts? Hey, Mason. Mason, can you concentrate on me for just a second?
He spots a dime-sized scab on Mason's face.
Hey, Mason, how did you get that burn? Is that a burn mark on your face from a cigarette?
No.
What's that from?
I cut it.
With what?
With my finger.
You just picked at it?
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like things are crawling on you?
Yeah.
As I'm watching these officers work, they seem more like social workers than cops. In the past, Stevens says the police would have responded to Mason with the same tough guy command voice they use with criminals, and they often took people like Mason to jail.
They would be arresting him for just minor misdemeanor offenses such as trespassing or criminal mischief or, you know, basically you're disturbing the peace type calls.
Or the police could take them to an emergency room. But the officers might end up waiting in the hospital for 12 hours or more until the person could be triaged. Bandusky says that made the jail seem like a much more appealing option for cops.
You can book somebody in the jail within 20, 30, 45 minutes tops, especially if you have a partner to help, you know, share the paperwork load, and then you're back out on the streets.
Another problem, they were arresting the same people over and over again. People who not only had a serious mental illness, but were often also addicted to drugs and alcohol. Many were homeless. And whether they went to jail or the ER, it was expensive for everyone. The jail that accepted them, the hospital, the police department that had to pay for overtime while cops waited. So the police chief decided to require all cops to take a 40-hour crisis intervention course to learn how to handle mental health crises, the way Officer Stevens is today with Mason.
Mason, we're here to get you some help, buddy, okay? You don't want to tell Ned what the voices were telling you?
They're not my friends.
The voices aren't your friends? Are they telling you bad things to do to yourself? They are. Okay. But we don't want you to do anything bad to yourself, okay? We want to help you, and we want those voices to stop.
And they want to keep people like Mason out of jail and off the streets. But that raised the question, where should they take people like Mason? So the city of San Antonio did something new. They created a totally separate facility called the Restoration Center with a 16-bed psychiatric unit. There's also a place where police can drop off people who are intoxicated, called a sobering unit. And there's a medical clinic.
I'll be honest with you. When it first came out, I was very skeptical.
Officer Bandusky.
I thought, well, this is ridiculous. If somebody's, you know, breaking the law, if they're public intoxication, they should go to jail.
People who commit a felony still go to jail, regardless of their mental status. And those who need extensive medical care are still taken to the hospital. But for patients like Mason, this gives the officers another option. Back in the courtyard, Bandusky makes a call to the restoration center.
I'd like to bring you a patient. He's experiencing auditory, visual, and tactile hallucinations. He's setting his blanket on fire in his room. He's seeing Jesus.
We all get back in the car and head to the center. 30 minutes later, Nurse Catherine Riojas is checking Mason in.
Can we have your necklaces to lock up? And you can keep your hoodie, but I need the string from the hoodie.
Mason seems more settled now as she collects all of his property. Cigarettes, jewelry, and a folded piece of construction paper with a poem.
Do you like to write poetry in your
spirit? No, well, that one...
What is this? Uh-huh.
That one was just me being sweet.
Okay. I like this heart you drew. It's a nice one.
Yeah. Can you give that to my mother?
And so, just 15 minutes after walking into the center with Mason, Officers Stevens and Bandusky are ready to get back on the street.
Okay, Mason, good luck, okay, buddy? Hope you feel better.
The Restoration Center is saving the police department about $600,000 a year in overtime pay. And perhaps more importantly, it's keeping people like Mason out of jail. For NPR News, I'm Jenny Gold.